2. I want to concentrate on the second verse, but I want first part of it, but I want to read from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 32, it says here, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." We see in verse 1, it says, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness." This is a prophecy that is being given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a great king. He's a king of kings and the Lord of lords. He's a king of the universe who is going to reign in righteousness. There is no other king who can reign in righteousness except the Lord Jesus Christ. And his rule is going to, he's going to rule his kingdom, and there will be his justice. Not the justice of the world, but God's justice. God is a good judge. He's a judge of the universe. He will have justice upon the sinners. And the Old Testament prophets, Old Testament saints were looking forward. Here in the book of Isaiah is written in the Old Testament, and they were looking forward to this king. They were looking to the cross. And they were looking for this king, the Messiah, who is going to come with his kingdom. And we see, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, 11, verse 11, starting from verse 10, we'll see, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully," talking of the Old Testament, "who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Verse 12 says, "To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." The Old Testament prophets, the saints, were looking forward to the Messiah. The angels, they too were excited to look into this Messiah who is going to be born. The King is going to be born as a man now. Verse 2 says now, verse 1 talks about the king who is going to reign. Verse 2 says, "A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest." Now suddenly the king is taught in verse 1. Now verse 2 says, "A man will be as a hiding place from the wind." A man. And here we see that this man, of course, that's talking of the same king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who became a man. Prophecy of the Son of God, his incarnation. He appeared as a man. He became a human being. And this man, he's going to be our hiding place from the wind. And a cover from the tempest. Now, the topic that I would give today is calmness in the midst of terror. Calmness in the midst of terror. Because if you see, the word tempest is something that is the meaning of the word tempest is a violent wind. It's an extreme violence of a hurricane. And here we see in this scripture, a man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. And in this extreme hurricane, extreme condition of the wind, the hurricane, and so forth like that, when people, when this happens, when this huge sort of a hurricane wind comes,
first thing people will look is when their houses gets blown up, roof gets blown up, everything gets blown up, and there's so much danger, the first thing you will see is a hiding place. Where am I going to hide? From danger, so nothing will fall on me. And here it says a man will be as a hiding place. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of the universe, became a man, a human, and he can be the hiding place. And if you turn with me to Jonah chapter 1 verse 4 in the Old Testament, turn with me to Jonah chapter 1 4. It says here, but here we remember how Jonah tried to escape God's, what God wanted to do. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. That's the language we are talking here. A great tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. When there's a mighty tempest, there's no shelter you can find. But in Christ, we can find that shelter. In Christ, we can find a hiding place. In times of fear, in times of danger, in times of uncertainty, in times when everything is falling apart, there is Christ. He can be our hiding place. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8:24. Matthew 8:24. Suddenly, here we see, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Same language, a great tempest arose on the sea, and the boat was covered with the waves, just like Jonah in the sea. That boat was going to be broken up. And here, the same situation. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 4:35 to continue in that. Mark 4. And we see the story here. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Of course, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. That's exactly what Matthew was telling before. And the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And here we see there was a great tempest in the sea, and the boat was about to be broken, and they were all panicky. They were going to get drowned. They knew when they looked at the circumstances, they look, there's no hope. And here people, they look to the circumstances, they look to the situation. When danger falls, when problems happen, the first thing we see, we look in our eyes and we see the situation in a visible form. Look at it and we see, uh-oh, what's going on here? And then what happens is, we get into our feelings. Right? Feelings take control. Now, feelings take control. Bad news. Not going to be good. Because the Bible says, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. You cannot please God by your feelings. You can please God by faith. That's why Jesus rebuked them and said, where is your faith? You're not walking by you're walking by feelings. Here, he is sleeping. When the Son of Man, the King of the universe, in the boat, the one who created the world, is soundly sleeping in the midst of a calm. The disciples are panicking. And that's the situation we are talking here. There is a fear here, and we always, everybody in this room and everybody who's listening and seeing, we all come into some kind of fear in our life. There are two kinds of fears. One is a temporal fear. The other one is the eternal fear. I'm going to talk about the temporal fear first. The temporal fears. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, meaning a world that is full of sin. A world that has, because of sin, so much dangers that surround in this world. As hurricanes, earthquakes, all kinds of calamities, great sorrows, death. And we, today, in another sense, we are living in the times of terrorism. Now this is a new word for us, especially to the Americans. We haven't heard this word, terrorism. But now, everybody is accustomed to terrorism. Of course, 9/11 shook this country with great fear and realized that the terrorists are here. When there's suddenly danger comes and fear comes, suddenly, that's the time people look for God. But in the times of good times, they don't want to think about God. Suddenly people look for their Bibles now. Suddenly they look for churches. But when good time comes, they don't care. We don't need God. We are very happy. And of course, I don't know whether you heard on the news today, in Indonesia, in Bali, probably some of you have known, the Bali is a tourist spot, very world famous tourist spot. Bali, a terrorist bomb killed almost 200 people as today. It's the headline news today. And you hear this all the time. Of course, before we hear all the time, the gangs. And we were all scared of gangs, right? There's fear. When gangs go on the street, everybody gets scared. There's street shootings, gangs, violence, schools, shootings. We had never heard those things before. Drive-by shootings. But now, there's something even worse. Suicide bombing. Wow. Yes. As snipers. And there's biological, chemical warfare. Of course we know. These are happening. Every day we hear something new. And there's danger and fear is gripping people's heart. Of course we know. Kidnapping. Little girls are being kidnapped and being raped. Plane crashes, accidents, and now we are talking of going, we hear wars in Iraq, the biological, chemical warfare, nuclear warfare. All these things are happening around us, and sometimes we don't care. We live as nothing is going on. But I'll tell you, because we see even 9/11, people look on the TV and say, wow, I saw the second plane going. It's like a movie. To many of the people, it's like a movie. Because a lot of people think they become like spectators. They're not really in it. It becomes a movie. But I'll tell you, it can happen to us. It can happen to anybody. In Luke chapter 21, verse 9 says, But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Verse 10 says, He said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines, pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. See verse 28. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And here we know that when you see these things happening, we know the Lord is coming soon. But are you ready? Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready to meet Jesus? That's the question we have. If your heart is set on Jesus, if your heart is fixed on Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid what is happening around the world. You don't need to be afraid when things are falling apart. You don't need to be afraid of danger, because just like Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem is surrounded with mountains, so the true Christians are surrounded by Christ. We become His hiding place. And if you are in His Word, some people say, yeah, I trust in God. But I'll tell you, are you trusting in God? Then do you trust in His Word? Some people will say, yes, I trust in His Word. Do you read His Word to trust in His Word? Trust in the Bible is okay, but do you know the Word of God? You need to trust what you know. You don't trust in what you don't know. So do you trust in His Word? So turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 114. 119, 114. Are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word, or I trust in your word. God becomes, you can say, you are my hiding place. Son of man, the Son of God is my hiding place, because I trust in His word. Because His word is so dear and close to my heart. And I love His word. And He becomes my hiding place. Now, of course, there's another fear. We talk about temporal fears that happens because of this fallen world. Around us, all the time, we say temporal fears, right? There's another kind of fear that is even more fearful, and that is the fear of God's wrath that is going to come. That is the punishment of God that is going to come. As a fear that is going to come. What is going to happen when I die? Am I going to face the wrath of God? Will I go to hell forever and ever? Or will I be in heaven with God in comfort? There's another kind of fear here. The fear because many are living in sin. And there's a fear that one day I'm going to be punished. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 said, And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's pretty, pretty scary. A lot of people are scared if somebody is going to kill them or punish them or torture them. But Jesus is saying here, don't get scared of man who can torture you and kill you. But fear God, who not only can kill your body, but also your soul, that you'll be punished in hell forever and ever and ever. Some say, well, I will repent when I get older. But now I just want to enjoy life. I'll tell you, age has nothing to do with it. Terror can strike any time. Psalm chapter 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days. You know, our days are numbered. It is being measured. Because we are finite creatures. One point to the other point, it is being measured. It is being numbered. And then it says, that I may know how frail I am. We need to realize that we are frail. That we are breakable creatures. Meaning that our hands can break, our legs can break, and we can damage our bodies, and we can fall just like, we are like a clay pot. We are called the clay. He is a potter, we are a clay. And any time, this clay can fall to the ground and break to pieces. And we are frail creatures. Of course, we have doctors. We have modern medicine. We have all the techniques. And we surround ourselves with our houses with nice gates and security. And we have guns to protect ourselves. We have money in the bank. We have insurance to cover and everything. We have all these things. But that's not going to prevent us from danger. That's not going to prevent us from terrorism. That's not going to prevent us from sicknesses and death. Absolutely not. Terror can strike at any time. And it says here, verse 5, indeed you have made my days as handbreadth. That means a handbreadth. This is it. That's how much we have. Our life is. And my age is nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. We are like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. Do you see a beautiful flower? Sometimes we admire, wow, a beautiful rose. Beautiful flower. Come after 2 months, that flower is faded, it's gone. And we can be so beautiful and nice, but we will get gray hair. We will get older. We get pains, aches and pains, and our bodies are falling apart. And one day we don't know what time that beautiful flower, a heavy blowing can come and destroy that flower. Or the sun can wither that flower away. That's how we are. Anytime, we can fall. And here, God is angry with the sinners. His anger is the most dreadful anger. He is angry with the people who are continually sinning against Him. If you don't believe it, read in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah. Read what happened to Noah's time, how God drowned the entire earth with a flood, except Noah and his family. God drowned the people. Yes, He's a loving God. How can a loving God do that? How can a loving God send fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah? How can this be? How can a loving God send people to hell? Because I'll tell you, God is loving. He hates sin. He is so much, He is infinitely holy. And God cannot live with the sinners together. And God will not compromise with sin. He will not live with sin. And He is holy, infinitely holy. He's not going to allow the sinners to wink his eye and say, that's alright, you can do your thing, but still you can be with me. Then, he's not a God he's not a righteous God. Then, he's not a God who has justice. That's why a loving God is a sin-hating God, a righteous God, a God who rules in justice. But today we see there's just like Sodom and Gomorrah, there's so much fun, excitement, full of sin, full of immorality, immoral sex, ungodliness, worldly entertainment, pleasures of sin. They're all rampant around us. And the devil tempts a lot of people, and a lot of people fall the devil. They fall in the broad road. Jesus said there are two roads. The broad road, the one that you see to your eyes and say, wow, I like this one. Everybody is following that one. And that broad road leads to hell. Then there's a narrow road. I don't want to go there. It's hurting. It's difficult. I'll tell you, that road if you take, you go to heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Apostle Paul speaking here, and he says, but I know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous times, in Greek, it means savage times will come. Talk about savage times. We are living when children kill parents. They're talking about savage times, brutal, inhuman times. For men will be lovers of themselves. Well, we see that all the time. Who cares about our neighbor? Who cares about other people? I care about myself. It's me first. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. On Sunday, you see people become so religious. On Sunday, people go with their time clock, punch the time clock and say, God, here am I. Here I'm here. And then the rest of the week live like a devil. And here we see the last days, terrible times are going to come. Savage times. I'll tell you, God's tempest is going to be the most terrible that is going to come upon the unbelievers. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 11, verse 6. The wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind. That's the tempest. Burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance behold upright. God is a righteous God. A righteous God is a fair judge. Is a fair God. He hates sin, but he upholds the righteous. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 29:9. Isaiah 29:9. And wonder. Pause and wonder. Blind yourself and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured upon you the spirit deep sleep and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. He has covered your heads, namely the seers. And here we see how people have totally gone blind. They don't see. They are intoxicated with the worldliness, with the drink of materialism. And we need to understand that salvation, when we talk about salvation, what is the meaning of salvation? Meaning saved. Saved from what? Saved from what? Christianity is the only religion that talks about salvation. There are no other religions that talks about salvation. I mean, saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God that is going to come. The wrath of God should be the most fearful thing that should be in our mind. God's wrath is going to come. Many people, they don't even believe in God. They don't even believe in the Bible. They believe, oh, I'm a good person. And God is going to be, He's going to see all the good things that I have done, and I'm going to go to heaven. How they have been. Bible says no one is good. Romans chapter 3, verse 9, 10, 11, no one is good. No one is righteous. All sinners, and all sinners are going to be punished by God. Unless there's true repentance. There's no goodness in us. God, on horizontally, we see I'm better than my neighbor. As my neighbor, he's a drunk. I don't drink. I see that guy over there. He's a sexual immorality, adulterer. But I don't. I'm a pretty good person. So we see, horizontally we see, I'm better than the other person. But we should see vertically. When God looks at you, He looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. Jesus said, even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Well, in God's eyes, we have violated all the laws. We have become criminals in the sight of God, and we deserve punishment. But Christ is a refuge, is a hiding place, is a comfort in the time of God's wrath. God's wrath is going to come, but for the true Christian, Jesus becomes a hiding place. Why? In Christ, there is security. There's protection and there's comfort. Because the true Christians will not face the wrath of God. But if you're not a true Christian, having a form of godliness and deceiving yourself and deceiving everybody else, it's a danger. God is not mocked. In Christ alone, we have that security. He becomes a cover from the tempest. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 16, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Luke 16, 19. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This is not a parable, because in a parable, Jesus never gave names, so this is a true story. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. Jesus gave this comparison of this rich man who lived in luxury, and there was this beggar who nobody liked to look at him. He looked so ugly, full of sores. And he's at the gate of the rich man. He didn't have a place to sleep. Verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And you see this poor man. He didn't have food to eat. He was starving. But the rich man was eating all the best food he had. He was living in luxury with the best of the pleasures, with all the great food. And he was enjoying the food. While the beggar was starving, eating the crumbs that fell, what you put in the trash can and to be thrown outside, that was his food. So it was that the beggar died. he died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And here you see both die. Everybody is going to die. You cannot prevent death. One of these days, we are all going to die. The beggar died, he went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried. Of course, the rich man, probably they had a beautiful burial for him. Maybe all the rich people came, maybe he had the best casket, maybe they gave a, you know, wonderful lot of flowers and everything, and they would have said, oh, he was rich and famous, maybe he would have been in the newspapers, you know. He's rich and famous. But the beggar died. Who talk about him? Oh, that beggar, he's dead. He didn't have even a casket. Now, let's see verse 23. And this is a rich man. And being in torments in Hades, that is hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then the rich man here, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip in the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you are tormented. See the story? It's very clear, even a child can understand that. The rich man, where did he go? To hell. And how is hell like? He's tormented in hell. Put your finger on the fire a little bit and see, oh, it hurts. But hell, it's not for a time that you can, it hurts and you can get away. Okay? There's no medicine here. There's, you cannot call the phone company, call the fire department, paramedics, there are no doctors. There's no ice. There's no, nothing to cool yourself. It is forever. It's not a place that you have just for a while. It's not a vacation. It's forever. But the poor man, Lazarus, he's in comfort. He is in true luxury now. You see the story here? You live about this much, huh? Because our life is so short. Then after that comes eternity. Eternity is without measure. So you live this much, and some people want to really enjoy themselves. They want to live in sin and fully excited and so forth like that. Who cares about God? Who cares about the Bible? I don't have time to read. I got all these other things to say. So they live this time and they go to hell. For the rest of eternity, they are in hell. But the other people, they struggle. They go through hardship. They somehow they take time to get into the Word. They pray. They get persecuted. They live a rough life, this little one, for the rest of eternity. That's why Jesus says a lot of times, people are foolish, right? You don't need a rocket scientist to figure this out. You don't have to go to college to figure it out. It's basic. The gospel is so easy to understand. It's so clear and plain. That's why the people who repented were who? During Jesus' time, the thieves. The thieves, the adulterers, and the people who were totally sinful, they realized how they had sinned against God and they repented. But the religious people, they said, oh no, you are not sinful, you are good people. In Daniel, if you see Daniel chapter 5, we see another story here. One says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. And here is a party. Time to celebrate. It's a worldly celebration. Verse 4 says, they drank wine and praised the God of gold and silver, bronze and iron and wood and stone. They were praising their wealth. Then 5 says, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed. His mood changed. His face fell and his thoughts troubled. So the joints of his hips are loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Fear gripped him. Just imagine your knees knocking at each other and your hips getting loose. Verse 26, Daniel comes and interprets the writing. Here he says, this is the interpretation of the word. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. And verse 30 says, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. That very night, he was having a great party, enjoying himself. That very night, the king was slain. Wow. How fast the life can end. The party is over. Luke chapter 12 verse 18. Luke 12:18. Says here, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops. This is what the rich man said. Verse 19 says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have done goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what the world says, right? Eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus said to him, fool, you're a fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? This night, you're going to die. Wow. I'll tell you, people are violating the laws, the law of God daily, not repenting. They think they can get away. They are not afraid of the justice of God. They are not afraid of God, the eternal fear that is going to come. But I'll tell you, when they see a temporary fear, they get scared. Right? People all got scared with 9/11. That's a temporary fear. But how much more you should have fear on the eternal fear of God? That God's wrath is going to come. Hell is forever. And realize that Christ, if once we truly repent, Christ, we have broken the law of God, we have violated His law, but once we truly repent, we see what? Christ has fulfilled the law, where I cannot keep. Then we need to be afraid of God's justice anymore. We can fly to Christ, because He has fulfilled the law. He took the curse of the law, and that He becomes our surety, because He suffered the punishment. And God's wrath, He took the wrath of God. The infinite, eternal Christ who died, He died and He took the sin. And He was obedient to the law. He undertook the punishment that was due to us. And He becomes our surety. He becomes our hiding place from the tempest that is going to. The wrath of God is going to come, but Christ becomes our hiding place. Even on temporary things, we see all these things happening. We should say, come. I'm in another kingdom. All the unbelievers, they are panicking. They don't know what's going on. They look the circumstances. They run, scream, shout. They are all in their emotions, feelings. The Christian, on the other hand, is calm, cool-headed, because the captain of the host, he's the captain of the ship. And we can sleep when he's the captain. Because he's the one who is in charge. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for sending Christ Jesus, that especially in this world, how we see so many things happening around us. We see in the newspapers, on the TV, it's getting worse and worse every day, every year. New things are happening. Even people are gripped in fear, even at work, on the road, wherever we go, we cannot escape fear. Fear is always there. But God Almighty, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would give us a fear of God, that we would not be fearful of man, that man cannot do anything for us, but cause us to have a fear of you. Fear of you, so that we will fear of sin. We would have a God consciousness in our mind, that we would fear you so that we would not sin against you, that we would stay away from sin, that we would honor you, that we would love you, that we would follow you. We would not follow or copy the world, but we would follow you and what your word says, that we would take the narrow road. And God, cause us to remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, it was just temporary. He was here today like a nice, beautiful flower. But he ended up in hell forever and ever. But Lazarus was hurting, was starving, ended up in comfort, in paradise. Oh, Father, cause us to realize that this world is just nothing. It's here today, gone tomorrow. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, as we are living in a rich country compared to the other parts of the world, we have everything. We have beautiful homes. We have beds to sleep. We have nice clothes to wear. We have cars to go on. And we have heaters when we are cold. We have air conditioners when we get hot. We got food, whatever food we want to eat when we get hungry. Of course, we see that we are like that rich man. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that all the things that you have given us cause us to thank you. Cause us not to waste. And many are starving. Cause us not to take everything for granted. Oh, Father, cause us to fall on our knees and repent for the riches you have given us, and that we would fall on our knees and acknowledge who you are and follow your word, and to be true Christians in this dark world. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's...